So we're finishing up on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and if you count down from the top of the page, we're up to Ashkechan, which is approximately, I would say, about 12 lines, 15 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Vinirtzalo, if you have that. So let's just talk about the following. What we're up to is a discussion about what's called Shinui Bailin. Shinui Bailin means that the Kohen, when he brought the Karban, instead of having in mind Reuven, who's the Bala Karban, and he needs the Kapara of this Karban, he had in mind Shimon. And we've already established that in such a case, there's a certain psul called Shinui Bailin. And that is going to impact on the carbon in a very negative way. It's going to invalidate the carbon. And the question is, does that invalidation of Shinui Bailin apply to all four avodos? And the Gemara says the following. Ashkechan, Zvicha, Uzrika. We've already established in the previous sugya that we have a source in the Torah for Zvicha. And that source in the Torah, we said, was from a pasuk that says, it says by Shlomim, it says v'zavach. And when it says v'zavach, the extra word v'zavach teaches me it's got to be a zvicha l'shem Shlomim. And then we have an eino inyan that's going to teach us that that applies not only to Shinui Kodesh, but also to Shinui Bailin. Then we have a limud for zrika. Because it says v'chiper olav, it's got to be a kapara. The zrika sadam has to be on behalf of the bala karban olav who took a neder that he would bring this karban. But now the gemara says v'kabola minolan. What about as far as the other avodos, which are called halacha and kabola? How do we know that there too there's a principle called shinui bailin? V'chi teiman, if you'll say nelif mizvicha uzrika, why not derive it from, we've already had psukim to prove that in zrika, in zvicha and zrika and shchita and zrika, we need l'shem bala karban. So let's derive that, the case of Kabbalah, from zvicha uzrika. So the Gemara answers, ma l'zricha, l'zvicha uzrika, shekein avoda shechayovin oleha bachutz. We have a chumrah, the Torah is very, very severe, very harsh with regard to shechita and zrika, that if the Kohen takes the dam of the karban and he removes it from the azara where it has to be, and he does a zrika with this dam hakarban, then he's going to be chayav kares for that, and that's a very severe violation. And since the Torah was very severe and very harsh with regard to Zvicha and Zrika, therefore we have no way of deriving the halacha in Kabbalah Saddam. In Kabbalah Saddam, if let's say the Kohen was standing outside the Azar when he received the Dam in a Kli Shares, he's not Chayav Kares for such a thing. It's not a severe violation. So you see the Torah is more makil with regard to Kabbalah Saddam than it is with regard to Shechita and Zrika. Now you might ask, how could you have Zrika Saddam outside the Azara? So that's a very interesting question in and of itself. And that has to do with the whole sugya, which Mirza Hashem will talk about, called Shchutei Chutz. That if a person receives the Dam in a Kli Shares after he shechted it outside the Azara, and then from outside the Azara he's able to throw the Dam on the Mizbeach, he violates an Isur Kares because both the Shechita and the Zrika were done outside the Azara. But if on the other hand the Kohen receives the Dam, and that's all he does, he's only Mekabalas Adam outside the Azara, he doesn't violate an Isur Kares. So maybe when the Torah jacked up the standards of the avodos of Shechita and Zrika, requiring that it be L'shem Bailim, and if there's a Shinu Bailim, that's going to upset the kashrus of the Hechshar Karban. That's only with regard to these avodos, which have the extra chumra. The Torah was very harsh about them, and Yechayev Kares for chutz. But in the case of Kabbalah Saddam, where there's no chiyuv of kares for chutz, the Torah is not so machmir, and therefore maybe the Torah doesn't require shinui, you know, that doesn't have a psul of shinui bialin.
You have to do shchita inside the Azara.
Right.
As you do shchita, the blood spurts out and you have to collect it.
Right.
So how can you do shchita inside and if you cut all
the... No, what he did was, he did the shchita outside the Azara.
Ah.
And he did the Kabbalah Saddam outside the Azara. And he did the Zrika outside of the Kabbalah. Or there are different Kohanim. So the question is, would each one of those activities generate a chiv karis? Are they so severe? Right, correct. So let's say we'll call him Kohen A shechted the carbon outside the Azara. And Kohen B was makabel the dam outside the Azara. Kohen C was zorek the dam from the klisharis outside the Azara. All of them did the same thing relative to that avodah, but only the first and the third would be chayav karis. Because the Torah says yechayav fachutz in the case of zvicha, and in the case of Zrika, but not in the case of Kabbalah Saddam. So maybe in Kabbalah Saddam, the Torah did not up the ante and require that it be L'shem Bailim. So we need now a source to prove that even in Kabbalah Saddam, there has to be a Kabbalah for the sake of the Bala Karbon. Elo Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says that Shini Bailim Kabbalah is derived from a pasuk in the parish of El Nazir. Now later on we're going to see that El Nazir is part of a whole system of karbonos that the Nazir has to bring when he terminates his Nazirus. One of them is a karbon shlomim, which is called El Nazir. And again, there's a lot, there's a lot of halachic discussion about El Nazir. El Nazir is a big, big sugya Masechta Chulin as far as Tarovus is concerned. But we're going to see later that there are other korbanos that a nazir has to bring when he finishes his nazirus. One of them is called the El Nazir, but there are other korbanos that he has to bring, an ol and a chatos. Famous question, why a nazir has to bring a chatos. In any event, Tichsivbo, in the parasha, in Naso is the parasha of nazir, it says, V'yes ha'ayil yaseh zevach shlomim. Now, the word yaseh is what's called a klal. What do I mean by a klal? Yaseh refers to the asiya, meaning the avodas of the karbon, in this case the El Nazir. It doesn't specify any particular avoda. But yet the next word in the pasuk is zevach, which is a reference to shechita, the first of the four avodas. So we have on the one hand a klal, and then we have what's called a prat. So Rav Ashi is now focused on the klal, on the word yaseh. Yaseh again is a kolel. It's a kolel kind of concept, which includes all the different avodas, and they have to be shlomim. Shlomim means l'shem shlomim. Now again, l'shem shlomim is a reference to Shinui Kodesh, but we already know Shinui Kodesh. That's we've derived from a different parasha in the Torah, say from Vayikra. V'im eino inyan l'shinui Kodesh, if I therefore find that this pasuk is superfluous and unnecessary with regard to Shinui Kodesh, d'nafkalei mihasam, because we derived it from the pasuk of Zevach Shlomim, therefore t'meyu l'inyan inyan l'shinui bailim. Right, and we discussed yesterday that there's a principle in darshaning the Torah called the Meno Inyan. If it's not needed for this, then we use it for this. However, Rav Acha is not excited about this drush of Ravasi. Why? Of Ravashi. Why? Omale Rav Acha bar Abba l'Rava. He asked the question on Ravashi and he posed this question to Rava. It's possible that Ravashi had already passed on. I don't know. Ema, why not say Yaseh Klal? The word Yaseh, since it's Kolel, all the four avodos becomes a Klal, a general rule. And then it says Zevach. Zevach is a reference to Shechita, is a Prat. And we have a rule that Klal uprat, Ein Bechlal Elamasha beprat. Then when the Torah gives a restricted rule, after a general rule, the restrictive rule, the prat is coming to restrict the general rule. And it's coming to tell you, don't misunderstand and conclude that Asiya is Kolel, it includes all for Avodos. No. Zvicha, the Torah says, Zevach. Zevach refers to only one of the four Avodos. In. Then the Torah says you require L'shem Kodesh. L'shem, in this case, L'shem El Nazir. But Midi Achrini, other Avodos that go beyond that, lo, they're not included in this requirement of Shinu Kodesh, of L'shem Kodesh. So Rava answers in the following way. It's interesting how drushas work. Drushos work in two ways. On the one hand, we isolate each word, and on the other hand, we look at the sequence of the words in the pasuk. So Rava says that we're not going to apply the general rule of klat klalu prat ein beklalu mash beprat in this case because of the way the Torah organizes the pasuk. Again, let's go over the pasuk. The pasuk says ves ha'ayel yaseh zevach shlomim, and Rava thinks in his answer to Rav Acha's question that instead of the Torah putting the word Zevach in between Yaseh and Shlomim, the Torah, if it wanted to give us a prat and a klal, it should have said Yaseh Zevach Shlomim. The word Zevach should be lifted and placed after the word Shlomim. If it would have said Yaseh Shlomim Zevach, then Kiduka Amrit. Yaseh Shlomim would imply a klal, and then the word Zevach would limit the word Yaseh that has to be L'shem Shlomim, and it only refers to Shechita. But Hashta, now let's look at the pasuk again. The Torah switched around the order of the words. D'chsiv, it says, not Yaseh Shlomim Zevach, but Yaseh Zevach Shlomim. Which means we have something called Eino Mole. Okay, now we have to maybe write this on the blackboard. Oh, of course I misplaced the...
On the left.
All right, it doesn't matter. If you could write down on your page, Eino Mole, okay, there's a Klal She Eino Mole.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Eino Mole? Klal She Eino Mole. Klal She Eino Mole means when the Torah meant to give us a full sentence, and it sort of cut us off right in the middle. It's Eino Mole. Another phrase for Eino Mole means Eino Nigmar, okay? Eino Sholem, right? It wasn't completed. What does that mean? Take a look. It says here in the pasuk, Yaseh Zevach Shlomim. The Torah, if it wanted to give us what's called a klal uprat, this is called Eino Mole. This is not a valid klal uprat. No, it's the normal rule of klal uprat doesn't apply here. Why? Because if the word zevach is coming as a prat, it's very strange. Because first give me a klal that's mole. A klal that's mole would be yaseh something. What's the something? The something here is the shlomim. In other words, yasa means the asios that are required in order to create shlomim, and they have to be done l'shem shlomim. Okay, now you have a klal. Then the Torah should have said afterwards the word zevach. Zevach would now whittle down that klal and say it doesn't apply to all the avodos of shlomim, which all have to require l'shem shlomim, but it only applies to zevach. But instead what the Torah do, the Torah wedges the word zevach between yasa and shlomim. That's strange. Yaseh Shlomim becomes a klal. Okay, does anybody understand what I'm saying? I feel like I'm talking to the wall here.
I understand, but what I don't understand is in this context, the word zevach doesn't mean zvicha. It means zevach. It means a zacharos.
Well, so that we discussed yesterday, Michael, that remember the sugya quoted various psukim in Vayikra where the word Shlomim is written without the word zevach, meaning the name of the carbon is Shlomim. It's not zevach Shlomim. The word zevach is absolutely superfluous and unnecessary, and therefore zevach means the zvicha of the shlamim. It doesn't mean the karban shlamim, because we've quoted, you'll take a look on Dalet Omen Aleph on the bottom, the Gemara quotes various psukim that leave out the word zevach, meaning the name of the karban, the category of the karban is shlamim, not zevach shlamim. And whenever the Torah adds the word zevach, it means not the karban called, categorically called shlamim, but rather the zvicha of the shlamim.
So in this case, you're arguing because of the structure of the analysis that zevach becomes the cloud, and shlamim becomes the particular.
Well, no, I would say the following. I would say
if that's the case, what does it mean?
What I would say is the following. We had a drasha of Rav Ashi.
Right.
Rav Ashi said that we're going to assume that when it says zevach shlomim, it means that everything has to be done for the purpose of a zevach shlomim, for the purpose of shlomim, correct? And that includes all the asiyah. The problem is, and this is the objection raised by Rav Acha against Rav Ashi, why not apply the principle of klalu prat? Which would mean that instead of telling me that yaseh shlomim, that all the asiyos have to be done l'shem shlomim, all four avodos, it means zevach is a prat. So the yaseh becomes a klal, the zevach becomes a prat to tell me that what has to be done l'shem shlomim, only zvicha. Now Rav is answering, if that would have been correct, and you're going to apply the rule of klal uprat, I have a technical foul, as we say in basketball. And that technical foul is that we have to have a klal that's mole, and then a prat. If you have a klal that's eno mole, if the Torah didn't let the klal complete itself, the complete klal would have been yaseh shlomim, meaning all the asiyos necessary to create a karban shlomim. Then add the word zevach at the end, which would be a prat after a klal. But you can't apply klal uprat if the prat appears in the middle of the klal and it doesn't give the klal a chance to mature and complete itself. The word zevach here, insofar as it's been wedged in between yaseh and shlomim, cuts off the klal right in the middle. The klal itself is yaseh shlomim.
Yeah, I think the Rav mentioned 2 days ago that zevach, because zevach is not just the name of a korban, it's also a verb of doing it.
Right, a zvicha.
So
correct.
If it's taken out of that context, then fitting it into kalam plot is not so.
So in other words, the objection of Rav Acha is that the word zevach here is the maisa zvicha,
right,
and it's isolating and singling out one particular avoda, one maisa avoda, and that's called zvicha. And therefore comes to be mamayit, it's a prat after the klal of yasa. So your argument, Rav Ashi, was that yasa includes all four avodos. Why did the Torah then specify zevach? It must be that zevach is a prat that isolates only zvicha, to the exclusion of the other avodos. That's called klal uprat. Comes along Rav and he says, technically, I object to the application of klal uprat. Because if it was a klal uprat, then it should have said yaseh shlomim. Yaseh shlomim becomes what's called a klal mole, a complete klal. Yaseh, what should be? Yaseh means the asiyos. The asiyos of what? Of shlomim. So that becomes a phrase that's complete. And then the Torah should have added the word zevach at the end as a prat. Tahavilei klal sheinu mole v'chol klal sheinu mole ein dodin oso b'chlal prat. B'chlal uprat. So this is, as I called it, a technical. There's a reason why klal uprat doesn't apply. Now, if klal uprat doesn't apply, then we go back to square one, which was Rav Ashi's initial point, that the word yaseh means all the asiyos, and we go back to klal. So again, klal itself is meaningful unless there's a prat. If there's a prat, we apply the principle of klal uprat. And klal uprat whittles down the klal, restricts it only to that prat. But if we cannot apply klal uprat, for whatever technical reason, in this case because it's a klal shein umoli, then we go back to the klal itself. Those are the rules of drushes. Ravina offers an alternative answer to Rav Acha's objection. He says, Ravina Omar, li olam donim. Okay, this is a whole sugya in Masechta Chulin, whether we can darshan klal uprat, if it's a klal sheinu mole, we don't darshan klal uprat. It happens to be in Masechta Chulin, and the Masifti has a whole discussion about a sugyan chulin, that Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that there is such a thing as klalu prat, even if it's eino mole. So Ravina now wants to square even with that opinion that klal she'eino mole could still be judged as a klal uprat. However, he says we have another rule, and that's called klal uprat uklal. Now, when the Torah starts with a klal, then it whittles it down, but then it reiterates the klal. Then we have a rule that anything that's similar to the prat is now being included by the end klal. The last klal. So you have klal, uprat, uklal. If we would freeze the situation right in the middle, after you have the klal and then the prat, we would say the prat is coming to whittle down the klal, and the klal only applies to that one particular case of the prat. But if after the prat, the Torah adds a second klal, so we have now a sandwich, we have one klal and another klal, and in the middle of the sandwich we have a prat, then the extra klal at the end is coming to teach you that anything similar to that prat is also included in this halacha. And since the Torah adds the word zevach, and now we're going to say that the klal at the end is going to teach me that zevach is just an av, meaning it's an example of a set, that set includes all the avodos. We'll soon see that it includes only the critical avodos. There are other avodos after the four, which is called haktar seimurim, that's not critical, but the critical avodos number four. Now what's the klal at the end of this klal prat uklal? So the pasuk says yaseh zevach shlomim lashem. And he says that the word Lashem, meaning for the sake of Hashem, after Zevach Shlomim, is Chazar V'Kolal. That again means all the avodos that are done L'Shem Hashem. Not just Zvicha, but all four avodos. And in the past we've discussed that there are six different kavanos that the Kohen has to have, and included in that six is Lashem, and that halacha of the kavanos avoda of the Kohen Oved includes all four avodos Lashem. Now the Gemara says, I have another technical objection. This is not klal uprat uklal. Avalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina, when do we apply the rule of klal, prat, uklal? That's if the last klal and the first klal are mirror images one of the other. That the first klal and the last klal are similar. In this case, however, he says it's not similar. The first klal was the word yaseh, which included all the asils. The second klal was lashem. And the word lashem includes not only the four avodos have to be Lashem, but even the I'm calling it the postscript avodos. You follow what I mean by postscript? You know, a PS? Are you familiar with that? Does that mean anything to you? So when we talk about Hakrovas HaKarbon, we divide the Hakrovas HaKarbon into two major categories. There are the four avodos, and those are called asiya. They make the carbon into a carbon. They are absolutely indispensable. You can't skip them or anything like that. And then there are the postscript avodos, which means we take the emurim, and we take the chelev, and we burn them on the mizbeach. All that is part of the akrova, and although it's not the machaper, right, as we've said a dozen times already, the essence of every carbon is the kapara. In order to achieve the kapara, we have four avodos. Those are the mainstay. But then there's a postscript. P.S. I want to tell you that after you finish the last avoda, which is Zrika, and you've already achieved the kapara sakarbon, there are other parts. Can I call them auxiliary parts? Does that word mean anything to anybody?
Auxiliary
parts. And those are called, number one, haktaras haimurim, Evarim, Emurim, and so forth, which are burnt on the Mizbeach. Those are the parts of the carbon that are not eaten, but are burnt on the Mizbeach. And Beli Neder at 11:45 will have a whole discussion about Haktaras Emurim. And then there's something called Shiari Adam, meaning that for Zrikas Adam, you need a certain dam. He's already completed that dam. He still has dam left over after he's completed the required zrika, the volume of dam for zrika in the klisharis. He takes the extra dam that's left in the klisharis and he pours it on a place. Again, we haven't learned Masechta Tamid, but when we learn Masechta Tamid, Mirtz Hashem, which is one of the 9 Masechtas in Kodshim, we'll talk about the Mizbeach and what the Mizbeach looked like. In fact, the Masifta has all sorts of pictures here and diagrams. Maybe you have one in there also. So there's something called the Yesod HaMizbeach. The Yesod HaMizbeach, there are different parts to the Mizbeach. There's the top of the Mizbeach, and even on the top of the Mizbeach, there's the Eish on the Mizbeach, and then there's the surrounding parts, and then the Kronos HaMizbeach, and then there's something called the Yesod HaMizbeach. So the halacha is, the mitzvah is, that after you complete the Zrikas Adam, and the Kapara has already been clinched, then you do what's called Shiore Adam. You take the extra dam and you pour them on what's called the Yesod HaMizbeach. Not the top of the Mizbeach, but the Yesod HaMizbeach. And then we have Haktorah Sayimurim Agami Mizbeach. All those are included in Lashem. They're not included in Asiyah, but they're included in Lashem. So now the klal at the end is not the same as the klal at the beginning, because the klal at the beginning refers to only the mainstay avodos that are absolutely indispensable in the kaparas hakarbon. But the klal at the end, which is Lashem, includes all the extra additional parts of the akrovas hakarbon, like shiurei adam and like toras and haktoras haimurim and so forth and so on. So the Gemara answers Hatani debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel in Masechta Chulin has again a broader definition or scope for klal pratu klal, and according to him, b'klali uprati darish ki haigavna klal pratu klal. His definition of klal pratu klal includes even this kind of klal pratu klal, even when the last klal is fundamentally different than the first klal. Now keep in mind, Rabosai, that the last klal of Lashem includes also the first klal of Yaseh. Do you realize that? In other words, the 4 avodas certainly have to be Lashem, but Lashem is broader, and it includes those auxiliary avodos as well. So since the last klal also includes the first klal, just that it goes beyond the first klal, Yesh Meklal Masayim Bona, so you still apply the principle according to Rabbi Shmuel, despite that deficiency, so to speak, that iyata don ella ki ena prat, that we still apply the rule of prat klal uprat, klal prat uklal.
How do we know that
yaseh
doesn't include everything?
Yaseh does. Oh no, because yaseh means the asiyas hakarbon. These are auxiliary avodos that is a chovas gavra. For example, Michael, what would be if after the avoda of zrika, the shiore adam or even the emurim just went up to the skies? They got totally lost, or they became tamei, nevad or nitma. The carbon is still chal. So therefore, when it says yasha shlomim, meaning that the shlomim should be for the sake of kaparas habayim, it only includes those 4. So therefore, iata don elakena prat ma prat mefurish be avoda. Avoda means, you know, the mainstay avoda that generates kapara ubeinon lishman. Now we need lishma. Lishma here means not lishem kodesh because of the ameno inyan, but lishem bailim is av kol avoda. We include in this also kabbalah sadam and halacha sadam. Later on, we're going to talk about the relationship. There's a very unique relationship between kabbalah sadam and halacha sadam. That's sort of like one, almost like one avoda. Is there also included in this klal ubeinon lishman, and they have to be done for lishma? So again, Ramos, keep in mind, we're not taking the word asiyah and expanding it Lashem. What we're doing is we're taking Lashem and we're expanding Zevach. Is that clear?
That Lashem, it comes from the Shlema, right? From the fact that it's a korban.
The word Lashem means everything has to be done for the sake of Almighty God.
But there's only 3 words. Yaseh,
right?
Zevach,
Shlomim Lashem. That's what it says in the pasuk.
Shlomim Lashem.
Shlomim Lashem. Right, that's what it says. That's in the pasuk. Yeah, and we should really open up a chumash, but... So the Gemara says, yes, Shmuel?
Very short, for a second. When you said that the last 2 avodot are chovat gavra.
Right.
So the whole thing here, though, is working on the basis that the chovat gavra is, you've got to get a kohen as a shaliach to do this.
Right.
Because it's not, a czar can't do it. So you have to give that amorim or make sure the coin takes the amorim or the...
Right, right. But I would say, again, we're too early in Kachim to know exactly the answer to this question, but I would say intuitively that the bailim are not you know, related to or connected
that's
to...
That's what I was thinking. It's the Kohen's mitzvah.
Yeah, that's the Kohen's mitzvah. Yeah, that's already okay. The Kohen's mitzvah.
No problem.
Correct.
That's my job.
That's a Kohen. So, oh, you're a Kohen. Oh. Wow. You didn't tell me that, Don. Okay, now everything changes a lot Freya now. You know? So I'm very happy that... it's 10 o'clock. We have to stop. A lot of thoughts go through my mind. Especially since recently my sister, through her research on Yad Vashem, discovered how many Berzons were murdered by the Nazis. But something we never knew. But... of course, I'm thinking to Hashem, you know, that we had enough. Now it's time for Hashem to really protect us, and the enemies around us are threatening. But one thought I wanted to share with you, if I might, that goes through my mind, is that this standing up silently is a kiyum ha-mitzvah I hold. What mitzvah? So you might say, Zochres ha-sharos l'chol ha-molik, but that's my... I have a curveball to throw at you. I think the kiyum ha-mitzvah is vayidom Aaron. That when Aaron found out that his sons were killed, Vayidom means he was silent. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if the organizers had that in mind. I can't mm-hmm. tell you, but stomel l'shma. All right. So the Gemara says the following. Let's see where we're up to. The Gemara says, wait a second. You want to say that Kol Masha Dome, right? Anything that's similar to the Prat is included in this Klal, Ima Prat. Well, let's take a look at this Prat. Meforosh, it's explicit, Avoda Shechayoven Olev Bachutz. Why don't we say that this Klal Pratu Klal, meaning the last Klal that's coming to tell you to expand the Prat, anything that's similar to the Prat, well, what's similar to Zvicha? What's similar to Zvicha is Rika. Why is Rika similar to Zvicha? Because in both cases, as we said, if the Kohen is outside the Azora, he's Chayav for either Zvicha or for Zrika, Chayav Kares, Avkol, Avodah Chayav and Lebachutz, meaning we can include Zrika, is therefore Shchitu Zrika in. That's called Ke'ena Prat. But Kabbalah Halacha lo, because we said that if he was Makabal the Dam or Molech the Dam from outside the Azara, he doesn't violate a Chiyuv Kares. Inami, the Gemara says, there's another way I could whittle down the Klal so that it doesn't include all four Avodos. Ma Prat Mefurash, the Prat itself, which is Zevach Zvicha, is Dover Aton Sofon. As we said before, Kodshe Kodshim required Sofon. And not only that, V'yeshno bechatos hapnimios. We'll talk about that in a second. Is af kol aton sof v'yeshno bechatos hapnimios. Is therefore shchita v'kabola in zrika lo. So we have what's called chatos hapnimios. We mentioned yesterday that includes parahel of dover shel tzibur, parashel mashiach, kohen mashiach.
This is shlomim though, and shlomim are not konshe kosho kodashim.
No, it doesn't matter. What we're saying is that the Torah tells us in the parasha of Shlomim, the Torah tells us that you have to have kavana l'shem kodesh. And then the Torah tells me that has to apply to Zvicha. Now we want to know through klal pratu klal if we could expand it to the other avodos. So what we want to do by expanding it to the other avodos is we want to take a look at Zvicha and analyze it under a microscope and see what can we extrapolate and expand the scope of Zrika. So we're looking for something that's similar to Zrika. Well, what is similar to Zrika? I'm sorry, what is similar to Shkita? So the first answer the Gemara suggests is that Zrika is similar to Shkita so far as they're both Chayav Bachutz. And the second answer the Gemara is that on the contrary, it's Kabbalah Sadam that's similar to Shkita, to Zvicha. Why? Because in what's common to both Shkita and Kabbalah Sadam is they both, in the case of Kodshi Kodshim, let's say in Chatos, Osham, and Ola, they all require, number one, Sofon. And not only that, but there's a situation in which in what's called a Chatos HaPnimis, where it has to be done l'shem bailim, and that's the similarity of Shechita and Kabbalah, because what we have in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is called the Mizbeach HaZov, we have both Shechita and Kabbalah in the case of those two rare exceptional Chatos. But in any event, there's something very common here between Shechita and Kabbalah. Now, Rabbosai, at this point, we don't know what the last klal is coming to include in the Gemara's Kasha. It's possible it's coming to include Zrika. It's possible it's coming to include Kabbalah. Again, Kabbalah, as we'll soon see, is a catchword, a catchphrase for Halacha and Kabbalah. Halacha and Kabbalah are part of one entity. So what do we do in this case? The Gemara is saying we don't know exactly how the last klal expands the prat. So the Gemara says, there's an equally valid, logical argument to say that it includes Zrika because of Chutz, or that it includes Kabbalah and Halacha because of the din of Tzafon, or Chatos HaPnimiyah. So we don't know which way to go. Shkulim Heim, the Gemara says. They're exactly equal. What do we do when we have a limud, in this case L'chumra, because again we're going to derive the psul of Shinui, and we don't know which way to go? Yavo Shnein. Interesting. This is also a midah of Torah Nidreshes, that if you don't know which Chumra, which case the Torah is adding, and you have two possibilities, and they're both equal, is Yavo Shnein. We have no right to leave one out and choose the other one, because we're in a no-win situation. If you choose this one, I'll argue this way. You choose this one, I'll argue that way. So therefore, Yavo Shneim. We have to include both of them. And this is the way we're going to apply and analyze the Klal Pratu Klal to expand it to all four Avodos. Even though, technically, it should only be expanded to two Avodos, or two and a half, if you know what I mean, but not to all four. But we have no choice, because Shkulim Heim V'Yavo Shneim. This is, again, we would have to go through all of Shas to see how the Gemara uses this principle all over the place. Shkulim Heim V'Yavo Shneim.
It's the second best solution.
Right, it's a fallback position, but it's built into the way the Torah wrote the Torah. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu authored the Torah, he did it in such a way that you could go either way, and therefore he meant to include both. That's one of the rules of our Torah to address. Lishnachrina, the Gemara now formulates it a little bit differently, but it's pretty much the same idea, is chada v'chada teku b'milsa. In other words, each one of these valid limudim should be upheld. You know, since we have a limud called chutz, and we have a limud called tzafon, they're both valid, we can't invalidate either one of them, is therefore teku b'milsa. Each one of these approaches has a right to validate itself, and it shouldn't be excluded.
Don't we have examples in the Gemara where you have something is like this, and then something is like that, and because they can't always cancel each other out, the Gemara says you can't learn from either of them.
Well, that only works l'kula, but not l'chumra. In other words, if you want to be makil, so they cancel each other out. You want to derive a kula in case X to be lenient, or alternatively a leniency in case Y. So, for example, I don't know whether I can kill you to save my own life, or I have to put your life above my life. So we're going to have to go lechumer in both ways, and I can't kill you, and I can't give my own life. So that's called shevi alta. So that's shkulo saying. But sometimes, if you want to be makil, and you want to say, well, I'm allowed to do this or I'm allowed to do that, then we're going to say leave out both of them. But here we're going to include both of them because we're applying the chumra of shinui to say that it invalidates the karma. Now again, Rabosai, there's a whole long discussion here in the Masifta. What's the difference between the Iboy Seif and the first Lishna? And it sounds pretty much identical. I'll just very quickly read to you what he says. L'chora tirut zeh u'mamish ketirut ha'lishna kama el v'shinui loshon. He says it just seems like the Gemara is repeating the same logic, just in a different phraseology. He says, but in the chidushim of the Griz, he says pirusha mi'achar shezriko v'kabbala shkulos v'ein v'yadenu l'achriya mihem havi ki ein ha'prat. So he says that the first Lishna is just saying that basically Shkulim Heim. And if the Shkulim, then we have to throw out the principle and invalidate the principle of Klal Pratu Klal. And the second Lishna is saying, no, we're going to use klal, practical klal in this case, but the last klal has a validation for both of these logical arguments. Okay. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute, the entire parsha of Shlomim that we've been learning, that we've been studying now, and from which we want to derive in the Imeno Inyan that you require L'shem Bailim, is El Nazir. Ashkechan Be'El Nazir. But maybe El Nazir is unique in the constellation of Shlomim. B'shar Shlomim Inan. V'chi Tema Nelif Me'El Nazir. Maybe El Nazir is just one case, you know, in point of Shlomim, but it really applies to all Shlomim. So Gemara says, no. There's something very unique about El Nazir. My El Nazir Shekein Yesh Imo Damim Acherim. El Nazir, although it is a carbon shlamim, but yet it's part of a constellation. The Torah tells us that when the Nazir completes his stay as a Nazir, then he has to bring not only an isle, which is a shlamim, but he also has to bring a chatos and an ola. And, you know, if we'd have to learn Masechta Nazir to see the relationship between all these three karbanos, if he brings this one and not that one, if he switches the order around, and so forth and so on. But in other words, it seems that the laws of Hakrava in the case of a Nazir are very unique, and the Shlomim is part of an entire process. So maybe when the Torah says that you need L'shem Bailim, that's only for a Nazir, because he's got a very heavy obligation to bring not only the El Nazir, but the Chatas and Ola as well. So the Gemara answers him, Cain, if this was only a din misuyam, a special din limited to Nazir, is nichtov, the Torah should have said, I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you, v'es ha'ayil yase zevach shlomov. Shlomov means it's shlomim in the possessive. My shlomim, why did the Torah use the generic term shlomim rather than what seems to be more appropriate if it's a special requirement in El Nazir, and only in El Nazir, it should have said Shlomov, his Shlomim, his meaning with the capital H, this very unique Shlomim, my Shlomim, L'Rabos Kol HaShlomim, to include all of Shlomim. Ashkechan B'Shlomim. The Gemara says, okay, you've proven that El Nazir requires, you know, invalidates Shinui in the case of all Shlomim, because El Nazir is representative of all Shlomim, but B'shar Kol Kodshim Inan, maybe it's only applicable to Shlomim. V'chi Tema Nelif Mishlomim. And I would add the following, again, I didn't see this anywhere, but just Libi Omerli, that what the Gemara means, it's like a Kal V'chomer. If the Torah is being Machmer in Shlomim, then how much more so, which is what's called Kodshim Kalim, how much more so in Kodshim, like Chatos and Ola and Oshim, which have so many different Chumers, and it's a Gavah, it's a higher level of Kedusha, how much more so we have to have the same Kodesh and the same Bailim? But the Gemara says, no. Paradoxically, Shlomim have a whole series of chumras that only apply to carbon Shlomim. For example, Shekein Teunim Smicha. The Torah says that before the Shechita is done, the Bailim have to be Somech Shtei Odayim, we have to push with all their might and all their force and energy on the head of the carbon. That's called Smicha. And not only that, you have Nesachim. Nesachim, in the case of Shlomim, is a very unique kind of carbon. It's called a Minchas Nesachim. Again, I can read to you all the details here. I'm just going to spill them out. Don't ask me any questions because we're not learning Nesachim now. But you need Isaron, you need Soles, you need Soles Blula. You also have to add a Revius Yayin. You have to have a Revius Shemen, Shemen Ahin, Yayin Lekevesh, Neasronim Soles Blula. There's an entire sugya and almost an entire masechta on how to bring the sachim, and the sachim are brought uniquely for a carbon shlomim. Not only that, what's unique about every carbon shlomim, and in El Nazir it's even more unique, is called tnufas chaze v'shok, which means that there's certain parts of the animal that have to be lifted b'yamin and on top of the rest of the animal, and after that, it has to, the Kohen has to put his hands under the hands of the Bailim, and he has to shake the Chazav Ashok. This is an entire ritual called Tnufas Chazav Ashok. So maybe because the result of all these chumras that we have in Shlamim, they require l'shem bailim, but other karbanos, other zvachim, which don't require neither smicha, nor nesachim, nor tnufas chaz v'shok, they don't have this chumra, and shinui bailim is not relevant. Ela amar kro. Now here, Rabosa, we have to underline this, because this is going to come up over and over in Masechet Zvachim. A pasuk in Vayikra Zion, the Torah says, and by the way, it's part of our piyut on various Yomim Tovim. We sing this, I don't know if you know the Niggin. Zos HaTorah, Li'ola, Le'mincha, Le'chatos, Li'oshem, Le'miluim, Le'zevach Shlom, Hashlomim. The Torah ends an entire list of all kinds of categories of Zvachim with the word Shlomim. To equate all these categories with Shlomim, He Kishon HaKosuv L'Shlomim. Again, you might ask that if we're going to equate everything with Shlomim, maybe we should apply all the unique features and requirements of Shlomim to all the other Karbanos. So for that, we're going to need a special miut to exclude that. But Ma Shlomim, you have what? Number one, Bein Shini Kodesh, if you change the nature of the Karban. So you shechted the Karban L'Shem, Shlomim L'Shem Ola. Bein Shini Bailim, and says shechting it for this Bala Karban. You shechted it for another bala karbon, and therefore that's called a psul of shinu bailim. But you know, we have to have kodesh and bailim. Tzrichim lishma, they have to be done. Lishma is af kol. All the other karbonos that are listed here in this pasuk of Vayikra Zion, bein shinu kodesh, bein shinu bailim, but you know, lishma, they have to be done for the sake of that kodesh and for the sake of that bailim. So the Gemara asks the following. And this is big. Gemara says, "Ema, shall we say hecha de shachiglu shalol lishma li paslu? If the Torah is already requiring shechita lishma, and again, hu adin, the same applies to all the four avodas as we prove require lishma, then why not go the next step further and say that if he did it shalol lishma, in other words, for the sake of a different karban or for the sake of a different bialim, the karban should be pasul? And yet, our Mishnah says that although the Bala Karban cannot fulfill his neder, and he's going to have to replace this Karban with a different Karban, but this Karban itself is kosher. We discussed that it has the status of a Nedava. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to answer now. That the Torah went out of its way to tell me that if it was not done Lishma, again, the exceptions are Chatos and Pesach, but for all other Karbanos, the Torah is going to tell me that it's a Karban Nedava. Omar Kra, Motzis Vasecha Tishma V'yasisa Kasher Nadarta. And then the end of the pasuk says, "Lashem Elokecha Nidava." So this is a very strange pasuk. It opens up with the word neder and ends with the word nidava. What does that mean? Hi nidava. How can you call it a nidava? Neder who? Ella im kamashen adarta asisa. If the karm was brought lishma yehi neder, then you fulfilled your neder, your pledge. V'im lav. But if you did not bring the karm lishma, then Yehei Nedava, the fallback position is that the Karban becomes a Karban Nedava. So the Gemara asks the following. Why do we need two drushos? V'itzrich. First of all, we have a drush of Motzis Fasecha. The Pasuk says, Motzis Fasecha Tishma V'asisa. To tell you that in all Karbanos you have to fulfill your Neder. And if it was Shalol Lishma, you have not fulfilled your Neder. The itzrich v'zos haTorah. Now we have the pasuk zos haTorah that tells us that in all karbanos you need lishma. Why do I need two psukim, two drashos, to teach me the same thing? So the Gemara says the following. Now we're going to turn to daf hey manal te'i kaz of rachmana. If it only had motza, meaning motza sasecha tishmar v'yasisa, and we didn't have the hekesh of all karbanos tishlamim, lo yadav amai. We would not know at what point Motzis Vasecha Tishma did the person fulfill his neder. Did it have to be an avodah lishma? Maybe even if it was an avodah shalol lishma, but the avodah was done in the proper way without the kavanas lishma, he fulfilled his neder. Is therefore kasa rachman and zos haTorah? We need the hekesh equating all kavanas with shlamim with regard to lishma. Now that we know that all the karbanos have to be done with Shema, why do I need Motzis Vasecha? The answer is Hava Minoli Paslu. If not for the pasuk of Motzis Vasecha, which calls it a Nedava, I would have said that since it was Shalol Shema, it invalidates the karban. Take the karban that was Shechted Shalol Shema and throw it in the rubbish. Is Kasam Rachmana Motzis Vasecha as a ribui to teach me that no, that it still has the status of what? Of an Nedava. Okay. Now, it seems that at the time of Chazal, they used to rest on their bellies. I don't know if that's true today. You know, we could take a little bit of a census here. Do you sleep on your side, on your back, on your stomach? Anyway, back in the day, they slept on their stomach. So Rami Reish Lakish Al Ma'oi Bei Midrasha Umakshe. I guess he rested in the Beis Medrash, and it was stomach down. Right, Mahoi means on his stomach, his beten. Now, why the Gemara has to tell you that's the physical position that he was in? Maybe the Gemara wants to tell you that you can even learn Torah while you're resting. It's not an insult to the Torah. I don't know. Well, maybe once the Torah wants to tell you about Nefil Sapayim, who knows? That I don't know. Anyway, what was his question? This is what's important for us. What was the question of Reish Lakish? Im ksherim heim yiratzu, v'im ein maratzim lama bayim. Rav Osai, this is the most fundamental question we've seen since we started Masechet Zvah. How can you tell me that if it was shalo lishma, the carbon is valid, but it's not maratza? The word ritzu means it's not ole l'shem b'ilim l'shem chova, meaning he doesn't achieve his ritzu, which is kapar of the carbon. He's got to bring a second carbon. Well, what's the point here, says Reish Lakish? If the car, mimanafshach, you know, however you slice the cake, you're in trouble. If you're going to tell me that the zemach is kosher, even though it's shalol lishma, then why not give him the benefit of ritzui karbon? If you're going to tell me that there's no ritzui karbon, then why are you bringing this karbon? I mean, it's, even after the shchita shalol lishma, you're going to still have to do kabbal sadam and halachas sadam and zrikas sadam. Why are you bothering with this karbon? Now, it's very interesting to me, and this is something that has to be studied by you, not for us now. I would have answered Reish Lakish's question by saying that there's a nedava. Maybe he gets credit as a carbon nedava. But Reish Lakish is not on that page. He's probably not even aware of this drasha that we had before of Motzav Sechah Tishmar in the case where the Torah has both neder and nedava in the same pasuk. So he doesn't understand. This middle ground bothers him. You know, it's not black, it's not white. It's like this gray area. Tell me the carbon is kosher, and therefore it's ol shame bile. It's ritzui. Tell me there's no ritzui. So why bother with the carbon? Why do you call it a carbon kosher? Amalo Rav Lazar. So Rav Lazar turns to Reish Lakish, and he says the following: that I'll give you a precedent that you yourself have to admit is correct, where the carbon is kosher, but there's no ritzu. How can it be that the carbon is kosher, but there's no ritzu? Is matzanu, matzina, we found, boyim liachar misa. There's certain karbanos that if the person dies before they brought the carbon, shem ksherim, the carbon is kosher, and the heirs, the yarshim, will bring the carbon. V'ei meratzin, and yet there's no ritzu. Now notice that at this point in the development of the sugi, Rabbi Lazar, who's an Amora, not Rabbi Lez at the time, Rabbi Lazar doesn't believe that the Yarshim, the heirs, when they bring the carbon, they get ritzu carbon. He thinks that this process of bringing the carbon is, it's like a din because the carbon is still kosher, but there is no ritzu. So we have a precedent to a carbon kosher without ritzu. This non. We have a Mishnah in Masech Tekinu, and the Mishnah is talking about a Yoledes. A Yoledes has to bring a double carbon. She has to bring a carbon Ola and a carbon Chatos when she finishes her days of Tara, which means in the case of a male, 40 days after birth. In the case of a female, 80 days after birth. Did I get that right?
Yeah, this week's Sedra.
And it's this week's Sedra, Parshas Tazria. So at the end of the culmination of her Tara process, where now, you know, now she goes back to being a regular rank and file citizen, which means her dam becomes dam nido afterwards, she has to be metaira herself from Tumas Ledo by bringing two korbanos, an ola and a chatos. And the Mishnah says the following: Isha Sheviya Chatosa Umesa. She brought her carbon chatos. She hasn't yet brought what? Her carbon ola, and she died them. Tragic death. Is your view a yarshim olasa? The yarshim have to bring her carbon ola. That's their responsibility. And somehow Rav Elazar sees in this a precedent that there is such a thing as a carbon kosher without ritzui, meaning that the Yarshim are going to bring har carbon, a carbon ola, without any ritzui. Okay. Now, olaso mesa, now the Mishnah goes on to tell us what if the reverse happened. She brought her ola, and then she died. And the halacha l'moshe misinai says that... I'm sorry, just one second. I'm not ready for the halacha l'moshe misinai. I jumped the gun. The halacha requires that the chatos be brought before the ola. It's almost as if the chatos is the matir to bring a carbon ola. Carbon ola is a very close relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and first she has to clear her record by bringing a chatos. So if she brought the chatos during her lifetime, then the Yerushim will have to bring the carbon ola. But if the reverse happened, she changed the order, which I don't know why she did that, but she brought her carbon ola first, and then she died. Lo yaviu Yerushim chatos. There's no such thing as a chatos yoledes on its own. Chatos yoledes can be a precursor as part of a longer process which culminates with bringing an ola. But if the ola was already brought, then there's no point to bringing the chatos.
That's a good question.
Just give me one more second because I'm going to lose my trend. This is very complicated. Now I want to introduce the halacha l'moshe misinai. The halacha l'moshe misinai is that with regard to a chatos in general, there's a law that chatos shemesu baleha holechas lemisa. In other words, chatos is something that's brought, a carbon that's brought specifically for the sake of a chote. Again, you know, you have to ask the question, why did this woman who gave birth, why is she considered a chote? Okay, that's a different question. But the Torah says she has to bring a carbon chatos. Now she's gone. So you're going to bring a carbon chatos after she died. There's no point, because the whole essence of a carbon chatos is what? Is the kapara for the chet. She's already gone. And this principle is called Ein HaMesim Mechaprim. Which again, don't ask me any questions about this, because you got to know all of Kodshim to know what that means. Okay, so we're at the very beginning of our study of Kodshim. We believe that there is kapara for mason, but in general, when it comes to certain karbanos, like a carbon chatos, we have a principle called ein kapara le mason. And I know you're very upset about that, because there are many, many exceptions to that rule, but for now, we'll take it just as exeris hakosuv, ein kapara le mason. So now, if she had brought the karbon chatos during her lifetime, the ola is a valid karbon, even though there's no ritzui, because ein kapara le mason. But if she had brought the carbon ola, there's no point at all to bring a chatos, because we have a halacha l'moshe misinai that says that you can't bring a chatos after mesu baleho, if the owner of the chatos died. Yeah.
That was my question.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to finish it.
Sure.
Again, there are many, many issues to talk about. If you can hold your questions just for a few minutes, again, I'm just begging your patience here, just so that we get to a certain point here. Because today's the last day of the week, and at the end of next week I'm not here, you know, Thursday I'm not here. Omar lo, so Reish Lakish says the following, Modina lecha bi'ola. You're right. A carbon ola can be brought even without ritzui. And therefore, and we saw the precedent in the case of Yoledes. And you're right. Ola is a very unique kind of carbon. And it could be meaningful, and we could convert it into a nedava, even though there's no ritzui for the bialim. Therefore, if you would ask me, what's the case of shelo lishma and ola? The man, the kohen, brought the ola l'shem shlomim. I have no problem with that. The karban might be kosher, call it a karban, a nedava, nedavas ola, and there's no ritzui, because it was shelo lishma. And why would I say that shelo lishma fits into this very complicated category in the case of an ola? The asya liachar misa. We saw already a precedent that the Torah recognizes and acknowledges the validity of a carbon ola liachar misa without ritzui. But asham, let's take the case of a carbon asham, delo asi liachar misa. We know absolutely no precedent at all for bringing a carbon asham liachar misa. Now, the reason he mentions Asham here is because, as we know, in the case of Chata Shalol Lishma, the Chatas is completely possible. We're looking for an example of something which is kosher but ain't a maratza. And it's not a korban olah. And it's not brought liachar misa. And that's the case of an Asham. Minolan, how do you know that Shalol Lishma in the case of an Asham fits into this very complex structure where the carbon is kosher, but it's not maratzah? All our loads are below the response to him. Harei machlekoscha, meaning your argument against the case of Asham, but see though, I'll find it in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afa Asham. Rabbi Elazar says that Asham has the same status as the Chatos, and therefore Shalol Lishma is absolutely possible. So what's your problem? Again, we've excluded Chatos v'Asham now, if we accept Rabbi Elazar. And in those cases, the carbon is completely possible. In the case of Ola, you yourself, Rabbi Reish Lakish, have no problem with saying that the carbon is kosher, even though it's not Maratzah, and the precedent for that was Olas Yoledes. So what is your issue, Reish Lakish? Amar Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Lazar, he says, Zeu Shomer Olav Adam Gadolu? I read your resume, your references, they call you a great man? Ka'ina Ana Mishnah Shlema. I was asking my question on the Mishnah. The Amar Li Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim rejected Rabbi Eliezer. They hold that a Chata Shalol Lishma is kosher, v'yena maratza. So don't quote me Rabbi Eliezer. We don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. Ella Amaresh Lakish, but you know what? I can perhaps answer my own question. Not the way you wanted to go. But Eftach Hanab Sochal Enafshoi. I'm going to open up a window of opportunity to solve this problem for myself. And that is Motzes Fasecha. The Torah says Tishmar. V'asisa kasher nadar to Hashem Elokech, which means to neder. And then it says Nedava. Hai Nedava Nederu. V'chule kin Eliel. The Gemara says, you know, footnote, Ayin Eliel. In other words, we've already seen this, that how can it be both a neder and a dove at the same time? The answer is, the Torah says, in Shalol Lishma, the carbon is valid, but it's eino maratzin ol l'shem chov, it becomes a carbon nidov. So this drasha, which is now presented by Reish Lakish, incurs the objection of the Amoron. Yosef, the Gemara tells us the story that Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba were sitting and they were studying Torah. The Yosef Abaye Gabaihu, and Abaye was sitting next to them. It could be that Abaye was a student, so he sat, you know, on the side, so to speak. The Asvi Kohamri, and these greats, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yitzchak, and they say the following: Kashalei l'Reish Lakish Asham d'lo Asi liacham Misa. Reish Lakish objected, why should Asham fit into this complicated category when we don't find that there is such a precedent in Asham? If the Bala Asham dies, we don't bring the Asham at all. So there's no such thing as a carbon kosher without Ritzui in the case of Asham. Nasiv le Talmuda Amotzos Fasecha. He says, and you resolve Reish Lakish's problem by quoting the drush of Motzes Fasecha. Ema, I can still tell you that when do we have this principle that we derive from the Neder Nidava Pasuk Motzes Fasecha? That's only in a carbon that fits the following description. And Rabosa, again, this is a very fundamental principle we're learning now in Kodshim. Haba b'neder u'nedava. We have certain karbanos that if you obligate yourself, or if you volunteer to bring those karbanos, then they are valid. Lese v'lo l'ratze. It's a possibility that since you could have had a nedava, when you took a neder, if you didn't fulfill that neder, the fallback position is a nedava. But that's because that carbon could fit into neder and nedava. For example, a carbon ola or a carbon shlamim. You could take a neder to bring an ola, you could take a neder to be shlamim, and you could take a nedava. Hare zu, hare alai. However, Asham, there's no possibility in the universe of bringing an Asham on a voluntary basis. There's no such thing as a carbon Asham b'nedava. Is therefore lo leisei klal, if the Torah says that let's say, for example, a person was obligated in Ashim and then he died, we don't bring the Ashim Lacham Visa because it's not possible to bring it as an Adava, Liacham Visa. There's no Ritzu Liacham Visa because Eina Mesa Mechaprim. Is therefore, if it was Shalol Lishma in the case of an Asham, so he shechted the Asham L'shem Chatas or L'shem Shlomim, then the carbon should be possible completely. So what did Reish Lakish gain by quoting the Pasuk Motzav Sasech, which has both Neder and Adava in it? That Pasuk would be very relevant for a Karban Shlamin, for a Karban Ola, but it's totally irrelevant for a Karban Asham. Amalu Abaye, so Abaye piped up, and he said, I have an answer to your question. Reish Lakish Mehacha. Reish Lakish really had a different Pasuk. Pasach. From he opened up his answer to his problem from a different pasuk. This is Vayikra Dalet. It says v'shachad oso lechatos, and this is going to be the source for shalol lishma in chatos. You know, we've never discussed this before. It's a sugya later on in Daf Zayin. Why is chatos the exception to the rule that shalol lishma means the chatos is completely invalid? Throw it into the rubbish. It's from this pasuk v'shachad oso lechatos, oso lishma k'shera. Okay, so it's got to be v'shachat l'chatos. But there's an extra word in the pasuk, osa. Osa is what's called a mirt. It tells you this one and not any other one. In other words, this one, which is a chatos, is singled out that if it wasn't shechted l'shem chatos and all the avodos, right, then it's possible. Okay? But hashar kodshim, other kodshim, shalol lishman k'sherim. There we don't say this rule. And since Asham is included in the general category of all other karbanos, it's not a karban chatos. Therefore, even if it was shalol lishma, it's kosher. Yachal, I might think, yiratzu, maybe in all other karbanos, I would say that the karban is now ole l'shem chova. He took a neder and he fulfilled his neder, even though the shchita and the other avodos were done, or any of the other avodos were done l'shem with a shinui. Tamalo motzav asacha. That it's in a double. So again, Rabbi Moshe, we have here a very interesting situation as far as Asham is concerned. This is Abaye's Chiddush, that Abaye holds, that we have on the one hand a Pasuk Osa that tells me that only in Chata Shalol Lishma passes the Karban, implying that in all other Karbanas, including Asham, the Karban is not possible. And if you'll tell me, well, it's not possible, maybe it should be Maratza, it should be Ol Lishem Chova, that far I can't go because of the Drasha of Motzav Sasecha that tells me that if it wasn't Lishma, it's in a double. The aim of the Gemara asks, Haba bin neder unedava leise velo laratze, but Asham artsuye nami laratze. Maybe we should go the other way around. When the Torah says, Motzav Sasecha, which is teaching me that it's not maratze, it's not ol l'shem chova, that's only in a carbon that lends itself to an edava. But Asham that doesn't lend itself to an edava, maybe we should say that since we have the osa to tell me that the carbon is kosher, we might want to go one step further and say that it's even ol l'shem chova. Omer Abaye, Abaye answers, Asham dimeratze lo matzi amrit. It's impossible to say that the Asham which was shechted shalol lishma is meratze. Why? Kal v'chomer me'ola uma ola she eino mechaperes. The essence of a carbon ola is not a carbon of kapara. And even though Rabosai, an ola is mechaper, but does anybody know? Can anybody tell me, I'm quizzing you, what limited kind of kapara you can achieve through a carbon ola? Anybody know? That's only mitzvah aseh. In other words, if he failed to take a lulav on sukkahs, then he could be mechaper for that bitul eseh with a carbon ola. But as far as an iso lav, if a person violates a lav, then ola is meaningless. It cannot create a kapara. Only asham or chatos could be maratza on a lav. So therefore, ola she'eino mechaperes, it's a lightweight karban in terms of its power of kapara vis-a-vis asham. It's not, then you could say shalol lishmayin maratza. Is is therefore, if it's shalom lishma, it doesn't have the ability to be meratzeh and offer him a kapara for a low level of essay, is asham, if he did the asham shalom lishma, and you want to achieve a kapara of a greater and more fundamental level, namely on lav, is ein odin, certainly shein meratzeh. In other words, if you say in Ola that it's not meratzeh because it was shalom lishma, how much more so in the case of an asham shalom lishma, it's not meratzeh. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Maybe the reason why Ola is not meratzeh is because of a very unique chumrah in Ola. Mali Ola shekein kolil. There's only one karbon, one category of karbon, which has no achilas basar whatsoever. The entire karbon is burnt on the mizbeach. And that indicates that man has no connection to this karbon. It's so holy that it just goes straight up to nachas ruach l'shamayim. So therefore, maybe this din of lo meratzeh is a unique din by Ola, and it cannot be applied to Asham. In Asham, the Zichrei Kohuna will eat major parts of the karbon, of the basak karbon. So Gemara says, Shlomim Yochichu. We know that in the case of Shlomim, if it was Shalo Lishma, it's not Ola L'Shem Chova. And that we derive from the pasuk of Vishamarta, of Neder Nedava. So you see that even if you're lacking this element of the chumrah of kolil that typifies Ola, nevertheless the din is that shalom lishma removes the ritzui. So where it says, but mal shlamim, shlamim has also got its own chumrah. Shekein teunim nisachim tenuvas chazim v'shok. I don't know why you dropped the word tzvichri. Okay, fine. So shlamim has these chumrahs. So the Gemara says, Ola tochiyach, but Ola is ein meratzeh, even though it doesn't have these unique chumras. V'chazer adiv, and it's like a ball that goes back and forth and back and forth. Lo roi zekeroi zeh, lo roi kezekeroi zeh. We're going to join forces. We're going to take shlamim, and we're going to take Ola. And when they join forces, all the pirchos fall out, because each one has a chumrah, but the other one doesn't have that chumrah. So for example, if you're going to tell me, well, maybe Shlomim is Eina Maratza because of the chumras of Shlomim, I'm going to tell you about Ola. Ola doesn't have that chumrah. If you can tell me, well, Ola is Eina Maratza because it's chumrah of Kolil, that doesn't apply to Shlomim. Is that Tzara Shavah V'Sheva? And what's the lowest common denominator between Ola and Shlomim? Shein Kodshim. Vishachtam shalom lishmak sheirim v'yena maratzim afani of the asham. I'll bring asham through this tzara shavet. I'll derive that shekenu kodesh. It's kodshim and vishachtam shalom lishmak kosher v'yena maratzim. So Gemara says ma'alat tzara shavet shebehem sheken yeshno b'tzibur. There's something that's unique about asham that puts it on a lower level than Ola and Shlomim, because Ola and Shlomim fit into a double category. For example, there's an olas hatzibur that's brought on Shavuos, on Chag HaShavuos. That's called Kivsei Atzeres. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Kivsei Atzeres is a carbon shlum. So anyway, there's something called a shlumim shalmei tzibur, which is brought on Chag HaShavuos, and that's called Kivsei Atzeres. Or, for example, the carbon tamid, which is brought twice daily, is a carbon ola. That's why if you're rushing in the morning to finish davening, at least say the one paragraph, that one mission about Ola, so you get the carbon tamid in, and that carbon tamid is a chovas tzibur, it's a carbon tzibur. But asham can never be brought by the tzibur. There's no such thing as a carbon asham shel tzibur. So therefore, if you're going to tell me shalom lishma generates a bitul ritzui, it's mafkir the ritzui, in the case of Ola and Shlomim, maybe that's only an Ola and Shlomim. Ola and Shlomim have a special category, a special chumrah, because even the tzibur could bring a carbon Shlomim, could bring a carbon Ola. So Gemara says, Toda, Tochiach, I'll bring you a proof from carbon Toda. Carbon Toda is also a carbon Shlomim. And now we turn to the Afei Amid Beis. And yet, a carbon toda can only be brought by what? By a yachid. Okay. Now, when I say a carbon toda can only be brought by a yachid, it's very interesting, because although you don't bring a carbon tamid for a tzibur, but what do you for a tzibur? Anybody know? If a tzibur is saved from one of the dangers of destruction of a community, So you don't bring a... There's no such thing as a korban tamid shilti, but what is there? Anybody know?
Korban toda.
Ah. You guys are not thinking about Independence Day for next year. Hallel, exactly. This is the whole issue about Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut. It's really about a replacement for a korban tamid in the case of a tzibur. But some want to argue that maybe Yom HaTzmaut is not the tzibur, it's only those who settled in Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole major issue with the Ramat Yosef and the Soloveitchiks. I mean, this is wild. But anyway, so the Gemara says here on Daf Hayam and Beis, Malut Toda she came to Unim to Uno Lecha. You can't derive any chumris from Toda, because Toda has one chumra that doesn't exist anywhere in the entire constellation of Kachin. And the carbon Toda has to be accompanied by 40 lechem, 40 lechamim. Most of our matzahs, some are chametz, that's not for us. It's olo shlamim yochichu, but olin shlamim is also enim aratzah fushal olishma, and it doesn't have this chumra of what? Of lechem. So because Radin, Lo Raizek, Raizev, Lo Raizek, Raizat, Shav, Shabem, Shay Kachim, Shach, Shalom, Shmon, Kachim, Vinim, Rats, Afani, Ovi, Osham, Shekedu, Kodesh, Shach, Shalom, Shmon, Kachim, Vinim, Rats, Malatan, Shav, Shabem, Shay Boim, Beneder, Unidova. But at the end of the day, what's true for all Shlomim, including Karban Toda, is, and including all Karban Ola, except for Kovat Tzibur, is it's Bar B'Neder U'Nedava. So that's a reason why the Torah says that if you mess up, at least it could be a Nedava. There's a fallback position, but you can't derive Asham from that, because Asham is Eino Bar B'Neder U'Nedava El Omar Rava. We have to go back to the Pasuk of Vayikra Zayin. Zos HaTorah. And the Torah says, Li'ol, Amincha, L'chatas, Li'asham, L'meluim, L'zevach HaShlamim, Ikishan HaKosim. The Torah equated all these categories of L'shlamim to Shlamah, Shlamim, Shein Kodshim, Ushchatam, Shalol, L'shman, K'sherim, Yenam, Maratzim. That if you shech the carbon Shlam, Shalol, L'shma, it's not Maratzah. Ani Avi Asham. Asham is also on this list in Vayikra Zayin Shu Kodesh. And therefore, shechted shalol shma, it's not meratzah. So the Gemara says, "My chaz is the akshes l'shlamim akish l'chatos." Who says that the paradigm case in this whole long list in the pasuk is shlamim? Maybe the paradigm list is chatos, which means that if you shechted the carbon shalol shma, then the carbon is possible. Hamid Rahmana Osa. Now we come back to the word Osa, and we said that the Torah says that if you shech the chata shalol lishma, it becomes puzzle. Osa velo shar hakorbanos. Okay, Rabbi Osai, so we'll stop here. Now, what I'm going to try to do.